Oh, hallelujah. And would you stand for the reading of the word? This is a continuation from last Wednesday night. How many of you were in the Wednesday night service? Can I see your hand? Oh, good number of people. Well, fine. Great. So we turn to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And we want to read verse 19 through verse 25. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Now, the reason why the scriptures look a little different is because this is on a PowerPoint presentation, so we're not taking it off of the software package. Now, please understand, I didn't just pull this PowerPoint presentation off of the internet or someplace like that. It's something we put together here in-house. So we're going to talk about 10 steps to provoking to love and good works. 10 steps to provoking to love and good works. So from Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised it. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God bless you. May be seated. Last Wednesday night, I read from the Message Bible, and of course we're going to review a little bit, so I'll need to hasten on in covering some of these points. But the Message Bible speaks of provoking one another, and it says urging or spurring one another along. And you know, we talked about provoking. Normally we think provoking is a negative word. That is, we provoke people to anger, provoke them to wrath. But the word provoking is really defined as rousing or inciting a person into action. It produces a reaction or an effect. So when we're talking about provoking one another to good works, we're simply saying urge people, create an atmosphere in which people can grow. Now, we have not had as many new converts this year as we had last year, but I have purposefully taught more on Christian principles this year instead of teaching or preaching evangelistic type services. That might have something to do with it. But each one of us is responsible for our own personal growth. And, of course, the pastor's responsibility is to structure things so that you will have enough information to grow. As a pastor, the most that I can do in pastoring, that is, to be effective, is to supply enough information for you to make the correct decisions yourself. I really have a real burden to see us overcome negativity. You know, I've spoken against negativity now for several years, and probably a week doesn't go by in which I don't talk about it. But we still have some pockets of negativity. Now, I don't want you start looking around saying, where are they? Because what happens then, you fall in that same category. you understand what I'm saying? But, you know, if you grew up in a negative atmosphere, you came to God and you did not overcome that, you know, you can be in the house of God for a long time and know that you shouldn't be involved in any action that where people are extremely critical. But and we're not talking about just talking about people, but things in general. People can get down on life, or they get down on a good number of things. So you can keep that, and all the while, you can recognize that in other people, but you don't recognize your own problem. And this is just extremely, extremely important. So what we need to do is turn the tables on negativity. See how many people we can make feel good. See how many people we can make happy. And see how many people we can see joyful. I talked about spiritual gifts. So I want to talk about spiritual gifts briefly. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So one of the spiritual gifts that's listed here is the gift of helps. That just simply means that you know how to help people. You know how to encourage people. You know how to edify people. 1 Corinthians 13 is sandwiched right between 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. Now, 1 Corinthians 12 outlines spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14, there are regulations placed upon tongues, interpretation, and prophecy, basically, those three, because those three seem to have such a profound effect on the body of Christ. Prophecy, the Bible says, should be by one or two, and then let the other judge. The Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Now, we don't always practice it that way, but that's the way it should be. You gotta be very careful when you go and privately prophesy to somebody. Because the gift of prophecy is found in 1 Corinthians 14. This is for the whole church. And it should be done for edification, exhortation, or comfort. Now, when we use the word exhort, normally we think about rebuking someone. But the word exhort doesn't altogether mean that. It just simply means that some people have a gift of just urging people, encouraging people. Sometimes, you know, you may put a little pressure on someone. Now, the reason why that I feel that we should talk about this, because 1 Corinthians 13 is the chapter in between 12 where spiritual gifts are given and where the regulations are placed on them. 1 Corinthians 13 is what we commonly call the love chapter of the Bible. So in between the explanation of spiritual gifts and the regulation of spiritual gifts, here is that chapter of love. And basically what I get out of it is that God is saying, here are the spiritual gifts. Now, here's the character that every person should possess in order to be profitable when giving a message in tongues or interpretation or a prophecy. Okay? Now, sometimes we miss that, and sometimes our prophecy has a tendency to be a little bit too negative. Now, you have to understand that when God speaks to you directly, you should say whatever God says, but you also need to understand that this is Christ speaking to the body or to his bride. And you have to understand that if the Lord Jesus Christ was going to speak to his bride, he would use a lot of discretion as to how he would criticize the bride publicly. Okay, I was just waiting for amen. Thank you, Brother Russell.
uh,
You know, if you look at 1 Corinthians 14, and the only thing that it talks about is about when a message is, and tongues and interpretation, the two working together, are equivalent or equal to prophecy. That's when someone gives a message and nobody is given a tongue, okay? And when you look and you find out what, how they were used there, the only example of them using that was for the purpose of winning the lost to the Lord. He said, so someone comes in among you that's unlearned, that's talking about he doesn't have any knowledge of the scripture and so forth. So through tongues interpretation, the secrets of his heart are revealed. And thus he will fall upon his face and say that God is in you all of a truth. What he's saying is, hey, God is really here because God called my name, so to speak. And so I just want to put this in because sometimes we feel that, you know, I've given a lot of message in tongues. I've given a lot of interpretation. I've prophesied. Don't ever get in the groove of thinking that if God's not slapping people around, then it can't be of God. Because the purpose of the spiritual gifts are for exhortation, edification, and comfort. And in the house of God, you know, the Bible says John 13, verse 34 and 35. So if you will just turn there and look with me, John 13, verse 34 and 35. Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. So basically, when people come in among us, if spiritual gifts are operating according to the way the scripture speaks, this can be evidence to an outsider that God is here. But let's suppose that they come into a service and there's no spiritual gift in operation. That is tongues, interpretation, or prophecy. There are always spiritual gifts in operation, but I'm talking about the verbal ones. Then, how would they know we're God's disciples? The way we love one another. Isn't that what the Bible says? And by the way, it was Jesus that said that. So, every time people come in among us, there should be conclusive evidence that Jesus Christ is actually working among us. That he is here. And if there's no tongues, no interpretation, no prophecy, they see the love that we have one for another. Now, what we want to do, we want to skip on down. We want to go into the 10 steps to provoking to love and good works. The first one that I covered, and I'll just briefly review this, and that is control your thinking. Oh, how important is this? Control your thinking. So we go to Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians, the fourth chapter. And we want to start reading in verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So if you want peace in your heart, you can't always be talking in your mind, discussing in your mind issues. There are some people that are just plain issue-oriented. They don't know how to converse with people unless it's about an issue. And it's easy to get into that. We live in a very troubled world. There's a lot of issues in the world. Gasoline, I noticed, was $4 and something a gallon down to the station just below us. People are wondering why the president doesn't do something about this. I get on the internet, I take most of my news off the internet, and all over people said, why doesn't the president do something about the gas prices? And then when he does, then they say, I don't think the government should have their hands in all this stuff. You understand what I'm talking about? That people who are issue-oriented, they're never satisfied. They're never content. And that's the reason why the Bible says, if you do these things, then the God of peace is going to be with you. In other words, there's going to be peace in your heart. Now, since Wednesday night, and just sitting and meditating and praying, did you know sometimes even in prayer you can get involved in some negative things? Now, just since Wednesday night, I've had to stop myself several times and say, hold a minute. Now, that's contrary to what you were preaching on Wednesday night. I don't know if that's happened to any of you this week, but it's happened to me. Now, what I want to do, I want to connect this to the next one and choose your friends wisely, and I say close friends. I mentioned Joyce Landorf's book on edifying one another, and she says that every friend you have is either a balcony person or a basement person. In other words, the balcony person is a person that's always trying to pull you up higher, get you in the balcony. The basement person is always somebody's trying to pull you down in the basement. See? Now, if you are close friends with a negative person, it's counterproductive for you to say, well, I'm going to follow Philippians 4 and control my thinking. At the same time, have close fellowship with someone that's always ranting and raving about some negative something. Always got issues going. See, that would be like, let's assume that I'm a lost person and I've got a real problem with alcohol. So I come to church and I repent, I receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, I baptize in Jesus' name, I enroll in the CIP program, and I'm trying to overcome this addiction to alcohol. And then I come up to Brother Hawk and I say, man, I'll tell you what, I'm just really enjoying the blessings of the Lord. And I said, you know, I just been, everybody I've been witnessing to, I talk with them and so forth. And then I tell him, I said, why don't you go out for lunch with me? And he says, well, where should we go? I said, well, I found this real neat place. It's called Cross Country Bar. And they got good hamburgers there. And so I'm going over to the Cross Country Bar, and here's where I'm drinking my soda and eating my hamburger. Well, in Brother Hawk's mind, he's saying, I thought you were supposed to shun the very appearance of evil. Now, it's counterproductive for me to say I'm trying my best not to drink, and yet, at the same time, this is where I choose to eat. And it's counterproductive for you to say that I want to think on things that are positive and things that are righteous and things that are holy, and at the same time, hang around negative people. You think it's going to work? No, it won't work. Now, please understand, it may mean breaking friends, breaking up friendships that have been a long tenure of that friendship. And there's always the likelihood of hurting feelings. And you'll have to use some discretion as to how you wean yourself away. But let me tell you something. I don't care how tight you've been. I don't care how far back the friendship goes. It's not worth losing your soul over. And you see, the thing about it is, the whole concept of Christianity is the ultimate goal is to be like Christ. Isn't that right? What were we singing about this morning? Take me to that place, Lord. Make me like him. So we come in, we sing about this, and yet we don't have goals or any particular plan to be like him. And we just revert right back to negativity. All right? Let's go into the third step. And these are new steps now. The others we reviewed. The third step to provoking to love and good works. Number three, each day when speaking of others, make that person that you're speaking about look as good as you can to the person you're speaking to. In other words, if Mike Evans's name comes up, come up here, Mike. If Mike Evans's name comes up and we're engaged in a conversation about Mike, all right, then I should make Mike look as good as I possibly can to the person to whom I'm speaking to him about. Isn't that right? Now, some of you claim to have the spirit of discernment. The truth of the matter is you just have a fault-finding spirit. And I can't find in the scripture that that's a real spiritual gift. Discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits in the Bible is not necessarily talking about bad things, but it's also talking about people with good spirits, good attitudes, that you recognize that. So I'm going to try my dead level best to make Mike look as good as I possibly can to the next person. Now, I have to be truthful. I have to be honest about this. But let me tell you something. When you start looking for good, it's amazing how many good things you can actually find. It's like buying a car. You know, you go buy this car and you think, well, there's not many of these on the road. You get one, you start looking for them, you find out about every third car, it's just like yours. So, oh, there's one like mine, there's one like mine, there's one like mine, there's one like mine. You can play a game, and after you played that game for a while, you said, oh, now I know. Yeah, right here, right here, right here, right here, right here, right here, right here. And it just kind of falls in place. And that's what happens when you start looking for good in people. You know, this man's a great guy. You know how many times he's driven a bus at night when all of you are going home or out to a restaurant eating hamburgers? He's running a CIP and a bus and all of this. You know how many Sunday afternoons he's gone home and made meals for these inmates that come in and such over and over and over. He got a very clean kitchen, doesn't even have to wear a hairnet. But why is it that when we engage in a conversation about someone that involves third party, right away, we start picking on that person, looking for faults? You know, as far as I'm concerned, Jeff Merkus is just the greatest man on planet Earth. Wouldn't you say so, Lori? Yeah. Yes. You understand what I'm talking about? So make every person that you talk to look as good as you possibly can. And if something negative comes up, what should you do? Should squash it. How are you going to squash it? Are you going to make that person feel bad that he brought it up? Well, then how are you going to squash it? Just simply say, hey, you know, let's not go there. Let's just talk about something positive today. And you know what? If they get offended, then use my name. And here's how you do it. Say, you know, pastor's been talking about that. So, you know, if he finds out about this, he was talking about spurring along. We might get spurred along. You know, I was called to be a pastor. I've got broad shoulders. I get blamed for a lot of things that I don't know anything about. But if you want to settle dispute about this and use my name, please do so. Hey, I'm just trying to get us all into heaven, you know. I want us all to be like Jesus. Take me to that place, Lord. Take me to that secret place, Lord. Now, this one is closely related, number four, all right? Number four, when speaking to someone, that is, let's say if I'm just speaking to Mike, make Mike feel as good about himself as you possibly can. Now, it's just appealing to some people to be sarcastic. It's appealing to some people to have a little twist of wit to let people know how sharp you are, how smart you are, how brilliant you are, how witty you are. But most of that doesn't edify. Isn't that right? I say most of that doesn't edify. You know, I stand by the door every Sunday and people come by. And I don't know how many people come by that say, Pastor, oh, you really, really preached a good message this morning. There have been times I've been standing there and saying, well, I didn't feel so good about this one. You know. But I accept their thoughtfulness and such. And I realize that some people are just trying to make me feel good. But in spite of me knowing that the only reason why they said it is to make me feel good, it still makes me feel good. I don't know what it is. It still makes me feel good. Even when I get in the car sometime, we go down the road and my wife doesn't say anything about my message, I start fishing, you know. I'm wanting her to brag on it. And if she doesn't, I'm not feeling good about it, so I tell you what, I sure didn't do good today. And she always says, oh, yes, you did. And you know, it sounds so good that I have to say it again so that she'll say that again. I mean, don't we all like to feel good about ourselves? And if you will practice making people feel good about themselves, the more you do it, the more this catches on. And after a while, everybody's trying to make everybody feel as good as they possibly can about each other. Now, that may not sound so apostolic because of the position that we take against sin. And you'll have people that are openly sinning in the body of Christ. That doesn't mean we're weak on the issue of sin. It just means that we're trying to be strong in our Christ-likeness. What about the woman caught in adultery? What did Jesus do? He told her, go and sin no more. Wasn't weak on sin. But at the same time, he refused to allow those people to stone her to death. What about the woman by the well at Samaria? He offered her living water at the same time, pointed out her adulterous affair, and yet she ran to the city and told everybody what a great man he was. Isn't that something? So you can be a great person in the eyes of God without condemnation pouring out of you all the time. Am I right on this? Okay, then, if I'm right, I'm going to keep going here. Okay, let's go to... let's go to step number five, all right? This is closely related to the last two. Set a goal. Set a goal to encourage everyone that you talk to. Now, when I say encourage, if you're talking good about them, that's probably encouragement also. But sometimes encouragement goes a step further. Let them know they have support. They have someone praying for them. Let them know if I can help you in any way, you let me know. Is there anything I can do? You can make it. So you can make it. I think of the dream I told you about, cure for cancer. How many of you didn't hear that story? I'm not going to tell it all, but some of you didn't hear it, but you heard it, okay? To make a long story longer, I guess, but... Here's what happened. I had this dream. Only time I've ever dreamed, like half a dream, got up and went back to bed and dreamed the other part of it. But they told me that I had a cure for cancer, and I ended up down at the University Hospital is what happened, and in walks three or four doctors and four or five nurses, and they told me there was a cure for cancer. And so they said, now, you don't have cancer, not to our knowledge, but... if this will cure it, certainly, because you've had three cancer operations already, you probably won't have to have another one. It'll prohibit it. So, okay. So they bring a chocolate pie in. And they said, you eat this chocolate pie. And I said, the whole thing? I said, yep. So I ate the chocolate pie. And before I, just as I finished it and took the napkin, wiped my mouth and everything, I said, oh, thank the Lord, that's over. I didn't think I could make it. And they said, oh, you're just getting started. You have to eat five chocolate pies. And so they brought another one in, and I mean, I was full. And yet the doctor and the nurses were all saying, come on, Pastor, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Man, I was eating chocolate pie. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. I'm eating chocolate pie. I finished that. They brought another one and said, you can do it. You can do it. I finally ate five chocolate pies. Whew. And then I said, well, so I won't get cancer anymore. They said, no, that's not the way it works. You have to eat five chocolate pies each day for the rest of your life. Oh my. I said, how in the world am I going to do that? But you see, in my dream now, the reason why I could do this is because they were all there cheering me on, saying, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. You know what we need to do to each other? When somebody has a problem, we need to say, come on, I'm with you. We can do it, we can do it, we can do it, we can together, we can do it, we can do it. It's going to work. Yes, it is. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We can do it, we can do it, we can do it. We can do it. Listen, we can all make it to heaven. I say we can all make it to heaven. There doesn't have to be one person in this assembly that leaves this place lost today. If you've never found Christ in your life, you need to do it today. But I'm here to tell you that you have a body of believers that are going to be praying for you and assisting you and encouraging you and lifting you up. And you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. I say you can do it. And together we can do it. Praise God. I say together we can do it. I say together we can do it. Let's say it together. We can do it. 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 Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary. And his blood took away our sins. And we can bond together. We can encourage each other. We can stamp out negativity. We can do it. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. My Jesus, my Jesus. Oh, praise God. Let's all stand to our feet. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's anointing of the Holy Ghost in this building. The presence of God is in this building. Angels are walking these aisles and ministering wisdom and strength and help. And the same Jesus Christ that arose from the tomb is walking our aisles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Reach out to him right now. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, yes. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, 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 thank you, Lord. We're going to open up the altar for you to come and pray. If you need healing for your body, come and stand over here on this side. We have ministers that will come and pray for you.